Hello, folks. Welcome aboard the Disneyland Railroad. We're now embarking on a grand circle tour of the Magic Kingdom, with stops at New Orleans Square, Mickey's Toontown, and Main Street Mickey's. It's your boys back on the choo-choo train.
Oh, no.
kind of. I don't know. Welcome back to Main Street Mickey's, the show where two real-life engineers and hopeful Imagineers talk about all things Disney. I am your ghost host, Noah.
And I am your other ghost host and train passenger, Alex. I actually think that was one of our smoother intros, like of just how it fit into Main Street Mickey's.
Which is saying something.
Yeah, it was still jarring, but it wasn't like a 90/180 degree turn from wherever it's currently going.
Yeah, it was pretty smooth. It worked. And I'm honestly surprised we haven't done the railroad at this point for an intro. So I'm glad I could cash that in at this
point. Wow, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you can always do the spiel for the Magic Kingdom railroad if you want.
I think it's the same, just Magic Kingdom instead of Disneyland.
And yeah, that's, well, this one said Magic Kingdom too.
Oh, it
just
did?
It's like Walt Disney's Magic Kingdom stops at Toontown, New Orleans. New Orleans Square is the only thing that you would take out, I think, right? Anyways, a premature tangent aside, for those of you that did not hear last week's episode where we were recapping my recent trip to Disneyland, this episode is a continuation of that discussion to a certain extent. So you should definitely go back and check that episode out and then come back here and join us for this slightly different version of that conversation. I mentioned at the end of our last episode, I took a bunch of kind of obscure videos and pictures while I was in Disneyland, just to document some details I found interesting at the time. I have now gone over those and I have selected five photos/videos, and I'm going to send them one at a time to Alex, and we are going to discuss them right here live. And you can find all of these pictures and videos on our most recent Five for Friday post. We'll post it on Friday, and then we'll post this episode the following Tuesday. So for those 4 days, these pictures and videos will make absolutely no sense, but that's part of the intrigue.
We'll see. I'll insert it in the episode description, but I'll see if I can like post a like bit.ly or something of the images as well.
There you go.
So that people who don't follow us on social media or don't do the whole social media thing can still follow along with this episode.
Yeah.
But I will also be giving descriptions of what Noah shows me. So if you want to just kind of go in with your mind palace, you can do that as well.
Take a trip with us and listen to these auditory descriptions. So should we just get started then with the first one?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm excited.
Okay. I am going to send you the first image in Discord. You might have seen this one because I posted it on my Dear Imagineer story on our first night there. But let me know when you get it.
Okay, I got it, and I don't remember. I can guess where it is.
So what do you think you're looking at?
I mean, I'm guessing it's a chandelier from the Haunted Mansion.
It is a chandelier from the Haunted Mansion. So,
I gotta paint a word picture, don't I?
Yeah, describe. Okay.
So what I'm looking at here, dear listeners, is a black chandelier with these kind of weird doily glass things around the lights. There's five of them, and there's a lot of cobwebs, which that's what told me it was from the Haunted Mansion.
That's a good cue to use. It is in the Haunted Mansion. And so why... Does anything jump out at you from this picture that might cause engineering intrigue? And you might have to zoom in a little bit.
Well, I mean, I will say the... I mean, the lights are really weird. The lights are really weird.
They are weird.
Is that what I should be looking at?
That is, so wait, when you say the lights, what part of the light are you talking about?
Like the light bulbs. Are you talking about like the light bulbs have a really weird shape.
So that's what caught my attention. And so I noticed this. This is after you exit the stretching room in the Haunted Mansion, and you're in that kind of hallway before you get onto your doom buggy. So I noticed that all of the chandeliers in this area don't have proper, you know, incandescent bulbs in them. And it looked like there is an LED with this sort of white kind of elastic mesh wrapped around the bulbs. And after I posted a picture of this on my Dear Imagineer account asking if anyone knew what that was, and someone responded that, and let me double check this. Okay, yeah. So what is surrounding those bulbs is something called a gas mantle, which is found in gas lanterns typically. And this is kind of, it's like, I'm trying to picture, if you took like a nylon rope and cut it and like squished it so it got bigger, like the diameter increased, that's kind of what we're looking at. And if you look up gas mantle, you'll see similar things. But basically a gas mantle was used to surround where a flame would be in, or still is, surround a flame in a gas lantern. And it was this kind of, where is it? Basically, the material that the mantle's made out of would glow when heated. And so it basically maximized your light output for a lantern, which is very cool and it's very interesting. But that didn't answer the question of why are they put on these bulbs. And I think the answer is, you know, you don't want to go around replacing incandescent bulbs every however often those bulbs are going to burn out. You also need, you know, dimmable controls because the lights in that hallway are, you know, strobing with the lightning and kind of flickering a bit to simulate candlelight. And I think that this is just Imagineering trying to make these LEDs look like they're actual bulbs without putting bulbs in there. That was the best reasoning I could come up with, but I took a picture of it because I have never seen that anywhere before. And I don't think I would have noticed if I hadn't been stuck in line staring at it. But that seems to be it. It would make sense that those would be LEDs. Just for, you know, controllability and all that. But that's what I found. And that that explains this very odd and dim picture of a light bulb.
That's super cool. I'm looking at this because I'm also kind of like, okay, why would they do that? Because obviously these are for like gas lamps. I don't think there was a gas lamp chandelier. Like, I don't think that was a thing. So, but like, I'm looking at these and I looked up a picture of gas mantles and you see listeners, there's little like metal, wiring that kind of looks like what a like normal, like lit lantern has, kind of like that handle that goes around the top. These mm-hmm. have those too. It's like it's a wiring that surrounds it. And so do normal gas mantles. And so there was like an active effort to make these look like essentially like oil lamps, which is interesting because that's not what you expect in chandeliers. But I almost, if I were to take a guess, I'll be honest, I think it was just more it would be weird to see a light bulb. I think is honestly more where it's going to come down to. It's like, it would be really weird to see a light bulb there and see like an exposed light. And so this like does two things where it seems to, one, like suspend that disbelief, because like I'm looking really closely at the chandelier and this isn't like a old-timey chandelier that they like used and jerry-rigged. Like, there's straight up like Phillips head screws in here, and like like this is probably is like a chandelier from like a department store that they made look old. And so I almost wonder if these are like for that illusion, because it's obvious that there's electrical components in here. So it's either an LED or a really small bulb or something like that, because the bulb could still be heating up the gas lantern material, yeah. if it is actual gas lantern material. But they don't look like bulbs. They look like they fit in the time period, even if they're a little weird and not necessarily historically accurate. But God, who even thinks of doing that?
That's the other thing, is like, who, I don't, maybe this was a more common practice at the time, but also I don't know when this was installed, if this was original or if this was an update. Cause like, yeah. And it looks like a bulb in that kind of metal frame that's surrounding it. You would expect to see something like that in a modern day light fixture even. So it's like they tried it with the bulbs and said, that looks too modern. Let's try putting a sock over it. And that's what they did with this. Cause it also, it diffuses the light really well, which might've been like, maybe they were running into the issue of it was casting spots instead of just kind of gently diffusing the light. And keep in mind, it's too bright. I focused on this with my phone and like totally messed with the exposure to get, so you could see the bulb. They're very dim in person and just like subtly glowing as they pulse in and out. But I pointed up at that and I got Molly's attention, was like, those aren't light bulbs. Those are something else. And she's like, I don't think I ever would have noticed that in a million years, but you did. And that's great. And I was like, thank you.
Maybe that should be the description of our podcast. I would have never noticed that, but you did. And that's great.
And that's just great.
Said the slightly podcast. Condescending.
with care and judgment all at the same time.
No, that's the description. Yeah,
with care and judgment, Main Street Mechies. So there's number one, that it's probably the most, it's not the most obscure picture, but it's very odd and it's super interesting as like a design choice. I would love to talk to someone at Imagineering that knows why those are there, just to learn, because I've never seen this anywhere, but maybe it's just because I'm not looking.
If we ever get an Imagineer like on the show for an interview, that will be like the first question is, what's up with the chandelier socks?
Look, we've seen the chandelier socks in Haunted Mansion. We know you have answers. Just tell us. All right. Just let us know.
You gotta tell us why.
Yeah. This also in the same room. This isn't one of my main five, but this got me just thinking about where are all of the lights for a Disney attraction controlled from? Because there are so many. And even on Haunted Mansion, I was looking at, like, you've got lightning strobes outside all the windows. These chandeliers kind of flicker and dim at different rates. There's the portraits in the hall with, like, the lightning effect where they change what's shown on them. There's the newest addition to the Haunted Mansion queue is what's it called? It's like July to December or something, but it's a portrait of a woman like aging over time. And it's just a screen, but that's being controlled from somewhere. And I just started thinking about that and realized that's a rabbit hole I don't want to go down, but it's out there. I don't know what the answer is, but somewhere all of those lights are being controlled.
There's some person in the tunnels below does Disneyland has tunnels. Yeah, it has tunnels, same as World. I'm pretty sure about this.
Yes, I think it does, but they're much less extensive.
Oh, there are no tunnels at Disneyland. Oh,
no, there aren't. Yeah. And that's why, wow. Oh, I made a comment about this. We were walking around and you see cast members from different lands walking through the lands they're not supposed to be in much more often than in Magic Kingdom because they don't have the tunnels.
Huh. I would have never have thought that they didn't. I always thought they had the tunnels. Huh. I'll be dang. Okay. That was a really cool.
Yeah. That
cool
one
little tidbit there. I like the
conversation.
That
all right. I am sending you the next one now.
Yeah, let's get the next.
This one is going over text.
All right. I got it ready. Get ready for this word description there, listeners. Well, this one's going to be a little bit hard to describe. Okay.
There's more going on.
A lot more going on. So, first of all, it's outside. I'm looking at either the front, the back, the side of a building. And what's kind of center here is a tube that's being held up by the side of the building, which the building is, like, I think it's Myers Chemicals. It's kind of like on a green metal thing. There's a bunch of tubes going around it. There's a hot water input, a cold bar input, and then there is a yellow tube going over the top that says supercharged plasma with a bunch of buttons attached to it and valves and pressure meters and stuff like that. It kind of like industrial tubing. That's what we're looking at right now.
Yeah, yeah. That was a very good verbal description. I think you nailed it.
I think that's about as good as I'm gonna get. Oh, there's brick. It's a brick building.
It is important, actually.
Yeah.
So, first question, where do you think this is?
I mean, just based on the kind of facade here, I'm going to guess it's at minimum in California Adventure.
Correct.
Okay. I don't recognize Meyer Chemicals. Is this by Avengers Campus or?
This is in Avengers Campus, yes.
Okay, so it's connected to the PIM place then, because they're using that plasma for something.
So I believe this building, and I'll double check this. So you're right, this is in California Adventure, and it is in Avengers Campus. This building is, I believe it's actually attached to the Web Slingers building.
Oh, really?
Like the way we're facing in this picture, if you went up and over the building and kept going that way, you would see Web Slingers. But I'm double checking. I don't think it's connected to PIM, but you're not far off from the reason I wanted to talk about this with saying that. And so let's go there. What do you think jumped out at me? Like, why capture this specific picture?
I'm guessing it has to do with something about where those pipes go to.
Mm-hmm.
That's at least where my brain would immediately go. It's like if they're tied into somewhere, but you didn't go on Web Slingers, so there wasn't like something in the ride that made you go like, oh, that's where the plasma's coming from or something like that.
Right.
So
right.
I mean, that's so, just like, it's obviously the pipes.
So this building, I'm checking on Google Maps now, it's not actually attached to either building.
Okay.
Which is helpful for what I was about to say, because I didn't double check that. I took this picture. So this is actually the restrooms for Avengers Campus. That's what this building is. Right underneath that awning is the entrance to the restrooms. And the main reason I took this picture is I was standing outside looking at just, you know, you said it in the first sentence, industrial. They nailed that kind of, you know, repurposed building industrial look so well, and for something so menial as the bathroom, that I wanted to take a picture, because not only is it showing, so that Meyer Chemicals thing, I don't know how that fits into the story of the land, but there's like another name before it, and it's like a hyphenated something. Meyer.
Is it Geffen-Meyer?
I believe so.
Okay.
Does that mean something to you?
Do you want me to say what that is now? Or I didn't know this. I just looked this up. But do you want me to say once you're done?
I don't know what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Geffen-Meyer Chemical is actually a company in the Marvel Universe from the comic books. It shows up in multiple different issues, and we can kind of cut this out as I'm finding more and more and more. But from what I can tell, okay, now I'm going down the rabbit hole of like actual chemical places. So it's a division of Stark Industries.
Okay, so it does fit into the lore of the land.
Yeah, so it was, here's the, okay, looking at the history. Around the mid-20th century, Geffenmeyer Chemicals had a base in Howard Stark's Stark Industrial Complex adjoined to the building for Stark Motors, where Stark developed his hover car. It appeared in, it's the former owners of the exit building run by, okay. Stark used it as a trap to get the Secret Avengers during the events of the Civil War. And, its use of gamma radiation is a reference to the Hulk, and it also connects, WEB members, Amadeus Cho, Lunella Lafayette, and Rick Jones. Names I don't recognize, but if we have any huge Marvel fans, they might be geeking out over it.
They'll get that.
But it's okay. A comic book reference. It's an Easter egg.
That's awesome that they put that in then. Yeah, because the whole story of the land is that it's the old Stark Motors complex that was repurposed. So that
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, there's somewhere in the land, there's a map that shows where... It's like an old Stark Motors map, and there's even like retro Stark Motors signage as you enter Avengers Campus from Carsland. Like the signs transition from, you know, the old retro Cars ads to retro Stark Motors ads, which is a flawless segue, and then you enter Avengers Campus. So that's really cool. I didn't know that, but good job, Imagineers.
Huh. Is there something called a Hulk tree?
That's another thing I was going to talk about. I didn't get okay, a picture well, of this.
I'll talk about that later, but I'll bring up what found later. But sorry, go ahead with your thing.
Oh, well, so the main thing with this is it ties the two buildings that it's sitting between really well because they're two drastically different design aesthetics. So Pym Test Kitchen is a very, like, you know, clean and upkept, modern-looking building with not a lot of, you know, techno gadgets or anything on the outside. And then the Web Slingers building is like all brick and metal sheeting with some add-ons that show that it's been kind of renovated, but not really. But it has that old kind of faded painted signage that you see on this building. And I didn't even realize that the supercharged plasma is from Pym and being like piped over into the building. And then you've got, what is it? Hot water input, cold water input. Seeing things like this after, you know, working in engineering for, you know, about a year now, it's so funny to see some of these components being used for like what in like the model making industry is just like kit bashing. Just, you know, throwing random models and buttons and things together to make it look like it's advanced or industrial or whatever. In this picture on the yellow pipe, you can see there's, you know, a couple of gauges with a green light or a green button in the middle. Those gauges aren't measuring anything. Like, a flow meter would be bigger than that. A pressure gauge would be bigger than that. There's no way that's like tapped into this pipe or anything, but it doesn't matter because it's on the pipe. It looks cool. You've also got like the way that it's held up even is how a pipe would be held up in an industrial setting with like pipe hangers and everything like that. You've got all the labels on it, but just adding these things onto the outside of your building, it's something so small, but it also adds so much in tying together the land. And I'm also looking at maps right now. That yellow pipe, I'm pretty sure that yellow pipe doesn't connect to anything on either side. Like, I think it bends over. There's a big green thing on top of the roof of the restrooms building. I think the yellow pipe connects to that. And then on the other side, it wraps around the building and goes back behind like a cast members only wall. And just goes down and probably just ends. So it's not functional. Like, I would be really surprised if there was anything in that pipe. It's just there to look like a pipe. And someone said, hey, we should throw a supercharged plasma pipe just on top of the restrooms building. And everyone said, yes, that'll look good. And here it is. and it looks good. And that just struck me as, you know, something I would not think of to do, let alone make it kind of the focal point of the whole building. Yeah, that's the point of that picture.
That's hilarious. That's so funny. And I love that. I also just love the fact that the bathroom of Avengers Campus is also like a thing, and that ties very well. And the thing I was saying, the WEB engineers, those are essentially like, so I think Peter Parker is a web engineer. It's just the engineers working in the like Spider-Man lab, that, and that's where the web slingers happens, in the web headquarters, which is the Worldwide Engineering Brigade. And so that's what that's connected to. So apparently, according to like the thing of the land, Geffen Myers is identified as the former owners of the exit building run by Worldwide Engineering Brigade. And then outside the building, there's the Hulk tree, which you said that you wanted to talk about as well.
The Hulk tree. Have you seen a picture of it?
I have not. Are you sending me a picture? So, or should I look up a picture?
You can look up a picture. And I meant to grab a picture of this, but we only walked by it while I was thinking of it once, because it's a very subtle detail. But on the outside of the Worldwide Engineering Brigade building, there is an outlet pipe that kind of looks like a drain pipe for, you know, rainwater runoff. And above it, there's a sign that says like warning, like danger, gamma radiation. And in the dirt, it's hilarious. In the dirt, you know, there's kind of like a little garden running alongside the edge of the building. There are these little trees every so often in a landscaped manner. The one right next to that output spigot is swelled and massive and slightly green, because it's been contaminated with gamma radiation. And that's like, I saw it once, and we were walking by, and I was like, oh, wait, there's the Hulk tree. We got it. And everyone had already gone. I was like, oh, I should have grabbed a picture. But isn't that funny?
That is totally one of those things where somebody was like, oh, wow, this tree's like really weird. We got to remove it. And they're like, no. Leave it. We can make a joke.
You don't get it. Yeah, it's the trunk is all swollen, and it's like slightly green around the trunk, and it's much bigger than all the other trees. It's such a subtle detail, but it's, and you have to get up close to see the gamma radiation spigot. It's not like a big, oh, come and see this thing. It's like you see the giant tree, you come in closer to investigate, like, why is this one tree bigger than all the others? And then you see that spigot, and it tells a little story just in the placement of a prop and planting a different kind of tree than the rest of the land does. It's so good.
That's awesome. I love it.
Okay.
All right.
Number three.
What's our next one?
Coming your way.
Yeah. All right. Let's see it.
This is a video, and this actually provides some more context to picture number two.
Oh. Okay. Watching this video. Oh, okay. So the video that I just watched, it's connected to the same building. And so it's just actually over to the left of the picture that Noah had sent earlier. And it is of a spider bot, one of the spider bots from the Web Slinger's ride. And it is trapped up in a corner, flickering as it's obviously been damaged or something. And I can't see, is it holding something?
No, it's not holding. No, I don't think so. Okay. That's just one of its claws.
Yeah, but it's all webbed up. And I will just say, the webbing is fantastic. It looks exactly like it would in the movie. But yeah, so it's one of the spider bots just like off tucked in the corner that Parker had obviously gotten.
Trying to find, I'm gonna send this was originally gonna be my third picture, but I wanted to send you the video just so you could see it. This is a wide angle shot of that same area, but you can just see a little more.
Okay.
So this is the same building. You can actually see the restroom sign now. And that is a spider bot from the Web Slingers attraction, and it is webbed up. And if you played it with sound, all you would hear is that there are some kind of electronic flickering sparking sound effects playing from it as if it's like broken and trying to reset or something like that. And there are a couple of things in this one. So the first one is that's a really good detail. Is just
adding, I love that.
You know, making a spider bot, putting it up there. Another thing to tie together these buildings that are separate, but you are now on the side of the restrooms that is closest to the Web Slingers attraction. So that's going to get you going, oh, what's that? Or, oh, that's from Web Slingers. And now you're thinking about it. It also tells a story with, you know, the web is over it. It's trapped. Spider-Man has been here. He, you know, put that one out of commission, but now it's just sitting there. And then the third thing, actually, there's another one. So there's another industrial pipe that is sitting above the spider bot that you couldn't see in the video, but you can see now. It's got holes and it's got hexagonal holes because those are the style of holes that the spider bots make. And you learn that in the Web Slingers attraction is when they, you know, plasma cut holes in things. For whatever reason, they do hexagons because, you know, stylized holes are more interesting. And so you've got more layers to this story. I'm assuming that this bot was cutting holes in this line. And I believe it says liquid nitrogen on that line, which is not great.
No, but don't they use liquid nitrogen in the PIM test kitchen?
They do use that for some of the like the frozen stuff.
I was just reading some of the stuff for the Web Slingers ride, and part of it is they go through the piping to get into Pim's test kitchen. So this one obviously didn't go all the way. He jumped out, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's a point in the ride where Parker is grabbing bots that left the pipes, and you're grabbing the ones still in the pipes.
I know that on the ride, because I didn't ride it, but I've seen some videos, you basically make stops at every single point of Avengers Campus. So one of the scenes is the PIM test kitchen, like lab area. And this is probably leading into that. There's another one that's in the main HQ building. There's another one that's inside the Collector's Fortress. So this totally ties in with
that.
Oh,
another one of these little robots that is webbed up.
No, there's like in the ride for Web Slingers, because you go from like screen to screen, Midway Mania style. One of the scenes you stop at is the Collector's Fortress. And, you know, the story is that they got out there as well. So, yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think of how that ties into bringing more stuff together. And once again, would you believe it, based on this blurry picture from Google Maps, that pipe also connects to nothing and just kind of, it goes off towards the left and wraps around the building and just goes backstage and you can't see it from there. So another great example of like, let's put some pipes in here solely so they can tell a story. They don't need to connect to anything. Let's just put some good labels and some well-placed holes. And The one other thing on this picture is we were sitting here waiting for someone to go to the bathroom, and the sound that's playing from it, I was trying to figure out where the speaker was because there weren't any rocks or anything nearby for a classic speaker rock. I eventually figured out where it was, but just based on that picture, do you have a guess as to where the speaker for the sound from the spider bot is and where it's coming from? If you want to listen to the video, you can, but it sounds like it's coming from the bot.
Sounds like it's coming from the bot. I mean, is it one of those? So I have like three guesses, I guess. There's the, there's those light fixtures, which shine up. That's one guess. There's that box that definitely does nothing and looks kind of suspicious. But then there also just seems to be kind of a grate that's underneath that beam. That goes kind of across the whole building. Is it coming from behind there?
Oh, I didn't even notice that. It's coming from, you got it on your second one. It's that silver box that's directly underneath the bot. That, you know, after walking around and kind of listening closer, that speaker is there solely to play these kind of sounds just for this one bit, which is, it's well placed enough. There's probably like 2 feet or something between them, but I couldn't even hear a difference. But that was just another layer to all of this that I had never even thought of. It's like, oh, you want to put a cool little prop? Great. You can't put the speaker inside it. Where are you going to put it? It also has to be on a wall, and it can't really hide behind anything. So what you going to do? And it's just make it look like a silver box.
Yeah.
It's an electrical box that blends in with the industrial theme, and it works. Yeah.
Works perfect. That was... I mean, I think that's just a universally everybody finds that cool kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is that it's the boxes. The sound stuff. Everybody finds the sound stuff cool.
Yeah. Like, where is that coming from? Because it's not something you think about. You're not used to going about daily life and hearing every single sound and being like, oh, I got to figure out what that's coming from. If it's part of the environment, you're just going to assume, okay, it's nature, it's the environment, it's that building, it's that robot. I would love to see a map of Galaxy's Edge with every single ambient speaker pointed out. I feel like that map would just be a red sea of dots.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That would be insane. That would be honestly like the first thing that I would probably ask to see if I became like an Imagineer. It's like, all right, I want the hidden stuff. Like, show me where the all map. The speakers are.
Like, I don't think you want to see that. Like, no, I need to.
I need to. And okay. Listeners, if you ever want to like pick us out in the parks and you don't know what we look like, look for the dinguses that are walking back and forth going, where's that sound coming from?
Tilting heads back and forth. I just imagine you
just walking back and forth by a bathroom being like,
that's what
I was here, and then turning around.
I was like covering one ear and tilting my head up and down to try and figure out if it was like higher or lower. It's like, wow, yep, that's a good speaker. I have no shame now. I'll do this in the busiest crowds. As long as I'm not in the way, I'll be doing it. Yeah. Okay. Gotta keep moving.
Yep.
Number 4 is on its way. This one is much more low key.
Oh wow. Okay.
So go ahead and describe what
listeners,
you're seeing.
It's a door.
It is a door.
It's a door with faded mirror, and it's got white and blue walls with black trimming. It's a gray door, and specifically that door has no handle, but it does have a lock. Which is slightly concerning.
That's part of the reason I wanted to talk about it.
I have no idea where this is.
I was going to say, this is I wouldn't get where this is. So this is in California Adventure. This is obviously a guest-facing door. This is in the middle of the queue for the Monsters, Inc. ride in California Adventure.
Okay.
And the main reason I took a picture of this door is you can see, so there is no handle. There is just like a deadbolt lock, and around the lock is a part where the paint has worn off from being touched too many times, presumably because there is no handle and because you need to open your door somehow. And so the main reason I took a picture of this, I'm guessing this is like, you know, a custodial room or a maintenance room or something like that for this ride. But it obviously needs to be accessed. And I was just thinking, like, why? Like, I get not putting a handle on a door that the queue runs by because everybody and their mother is going to try and open that door and they're going to think it's part of the queue. But now you've got this door with visibly peeled paint because you didn't put a handle on it, which is making the whole room, like that whole queue isn't in the greatest shape. It's an old attraction and it's, you know, the aesthetic is kind of, you know, mid 2000s kind of goofy, not a whole lot of detail. I just thought that was a weird choice, but then I was thinking, like, what would I do if I had to put a maintenance access door in the middle of a queue, but also didn't want guests to do anything to it? So I don't know. I just thought, like, what do you think of that whole, you know, putting a door there, or is there something you would do differently to keep guests from messing with it that wouldn't end up in, you know, rubbing off paint or making it look worse?
I mean, I think you can just, like, just kind of impose that into the door a little bit more, like have it be flush with, just kind of a keyhole that's flush with the door itself, I think would be the best way to do that. Because you're still, I mean, you still turn it and push it with the key. It's the same mechanism either way. The only thing that would be different is if that whole block rotates when it's unlocked. So essentially, like, you unlock it and it becomes a door handle, and that's why it's rubbed off. Because it could be the custodians or whoever's using it, they could be rubbing it off, because a handle that small, if it turned, your hand would rub against the door.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's interesting. I'm laughing. You dissected Disneyland this trip. Like, you,
it was
this
weird.
This is a small detail that you dissected it, them this trip.
It's incredibly small. And this is something I normally wouldn't care about, but we were standing in line and I was just like, no handle on door, worn off paint around door, probably from cast members needing to get in and using the lock itself as a handle. I noticed it. I guarantee, like, no one else in their right mind probably notices that. But it's just, and also, like, why is there a door in the queue that accesses, like, a maintenance thing? If it were backstage and cast members needed to use it a lot, you'd think there would just be like a door handle, or it would just have a sign. That's the other thing. There's no signage on this door. Nothing, not even in theme for the ride. It's just an unmarked door with fogged glass and no handle in the middle of the queue. And it's the only one. There are other doors in this queue, like at the end, the one that leads to like the tower / like Roz operator room, I'm guessing, has a sign that says, like, you know, taxi operators only or cast members only. It's something in theme. This one doesn't. And I just thought that was weird. Yeah. Okay. Last one. And this is a video.
Let's see it. All right.
Okay. So hopefully it'll send. This one, I'll let it send. This is an interesting one.
Okay, I got this video. So you, sir, got a backlot tour.
I did get a backlot tour. So where is this, would you say?
Is this Jungle Cruise? I saw a boat.
It's near. Yeah, so, well, I guess first, what describe what you're seeing.
Yeah, so listeners, this is essentially Noah and his group got escorted off. Not escorted, that makes it sound like that.
We got in trouble.
A ride broke down. And if you have ever been in a full ride breakdown at a Disney park, you will know that sometimes you have to get taken behind so that they don't have, like, a bunch of guests shuffling out of the exit, or you don't have to, like, walk through the entire ride to get out or anything like that. It allows them to keep down their walking paths that don't, like, obstruct into the ride view and make it so you see less of the ride while the ride's not working. But essentially that's what the video is him and his group going behind that. And there is 100%, I believe that's a Jungle Cruise boat, just kind of off to the side being done with maintenance. And then it's just a bunch of, like, almost looks like, not circus tent curtains, but, like, kind of like that, where it's like a bunch of, like, curtains and walls and barriers and stuff put up so that you can't walk around. I know it's in Magic Kingdom because it's by Jungle Cruise. I don't know. Did Matterhorn break down, or?
So this area in, so this is in Disneyland. This is backstage on Main Street. So if you are walking from, if you're standing in the hub facing down Main Street, this is behind the right side of Main Street that is squished between Jungle Cruise and Main Street proper. And this is not the first time I've been back here. So when Disneyland is doing a firework. I think it's just the fireworks shows. During fireworks shows, they've got, you know, projection mapping and lights going on all down Main Street. That's also around the time when people are exiting the park. They open up this backstage path and encourage you, if you're leaving the park, you cannot walk down Main Street. You have to walk down this backstage corridor, and it spits you back out at the entrance near like the flagpole and Walt's apartment. And wow. This happened the last time that I went in 2019. Same thing. There was a parade going on, or the fireworks were going on. And they do this just for crowd control because Main Street is so narrow. They just have all of the guests that are leaving funnel out through this backstage area. And so you are correct. That is, I'm pretty sure that is the boat storage for Jungle Cruise. There's just a bunch of boats sitting there in the water. And I just thought it was so funny. They pull down these kind of circus, like striped looking tarps, and they cover everything that's on the left side. So everything that's actual proper, like backstage for all of the buildings on Main Street, they just cover everything up just to try and, you know, save some ounce of the illusion, I guess, even though that's It's kind of shattered already as you're going backstage and seeing all of these boats and everything. We saw, this was after I stopped filming, there's a cast member break room further down this pathway. Door was open because someone was in the middle of going in and out, and we just saw, you know, a gaggle of cast members sitting on break with their lockers in there. Door was open, and it just felt kind of like, I get that this is backstage, but this feels kind of lazy. Like, maybe I know that they're doing, because it's tough. There's no room on Main Street for people to funnel out and also not get in the way of the people watching the fireworks. But they just put some tarps over everything and said, perfect, send them in. If you're a cast member, then you're on. Don't be rude backstage or something like that. But it's interesting.
I can see what you're... I thought you were saying it was lazy that, like, you could see the cast members and stuff like that. Like,
No.
I thought you were saying it's lazy on the cast members part. I was like, I wouldn't say that.
They need breaks. That's their space. Yeah. And the fact that Disney's making, you know, taking away basically their backstage area once a night for that, it's but just, you know, okay, how they get around.
I see what you're saying. I agree with that. I think that they could have done a little bit better of like making a path, at least so that there was like a cast member, like putting up walls so that there was a cast member only like tunnel that went like alongside to their break room, and then the walls are like fully covering, and you can, I mean, they use the construction walls to like cover up construction. Like, they can use the same walls of it just having you can do something fun, like a bunch of ride posters, kind of how they do in the beginning and stuff like that. You can do some stuff with that. I totally see what you're saying. I do think it's really smart that they open that up though, because I don't believe they do that in Magic Kingdom. I could be wrong. I actually don't know when the last time would be that I left during the fireworks. I've ridden rides during the fireworks, but I don't think I've ever left. Or not that I haven't ever, but it's been long enough. I don't remember that. But it's a cluster. Like, it is crazy trying to get around people. It's difficult just standing in one place during a fireworks show, let alone trying to move through it. So this idea of like using the back roads to move people is super smart and I think good, but I agree with you. They should do a little bit more with that, and maybe like something that can be permanent so that it's not just like stuff the cast members have to put up every day. But like, I see what you're saying. The tarps, and at minimum, they need to put in a tarp in front of the break room so that the cast members don't feel like they're being looked at by guests in their break room while they're resting.
They definitely did feel that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
You could tell.
Yeah. That would ruin my break if I was sitting there and suddenly I got like a guest like peeking in on me like I'm a zoo animal. Like,
yeah. It's, isn't, yeah, I'm by no means am I saying the cast members are lazy. It's just like the theming cover up. If it's going to be a regular thing where every night, you know, like, oh, it's that time to open up backstage. You think they do a little more than some tarps, but also that still needs to be a functional backstage area for them to move things around in. So I get it. And also, you know, as a Disney nerd, I wish they didn't have the tarps so that I could see everything that's backstage. But like,
yeah, this is the worst case scenario for you. It's not done up super great, and it's covering it. So like,
it's backstage. You don't get to see the stuff. I can't see anything. They did have, actually, there are posters up on some of the walls for like some of those retro style ride ads that they used to have. Like, there's a Jungle Cruise poster back there, and I think there's another one for like Fantasyland. So it's not a completely themeless area, but it's also not intentionally themed by any means. But yeah, that was the last video, or last obscure photo.
I loved those. Those are great. I mean, it's so cool to go to the park. And I mean, like, I didn't take next time I will be taking pictures and stuff like that. But I think just since doing this podcast, it has been, it's kind of like you get a new appreciation for Imagineering as a style of design and concept. Because I mean, like, the stuff like the chandelier and the spider bots and the liquid nitrogen tying into Pim's test kitchen, like, that's just, I would have never thought of that. And it's stuff that so few people have probably noticed and like will appreciate, but they still do it. It's like they do it for those like two dozen people that will notice. And they do it every time. They don't fail to do it. And it's crazy. It's these little gems that they leave for the people that want to find them. And and it's why people, it's why people love Disney, to be honest.
It's that saying, the sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. That's it. These like prime examples of like, here are choices that are made that no one will see. And that's the point, is that no one will see these things, but they contribute to, you know, the suspension of disbelief just that much more. Thanks for talking about this. This was, I had all these things sitting on my mind, and I appreciate you humoring my door picture.
I mean, the door picture was interesting, but I love the whole concept. I think even though we're a little running a little high on time, I think we got time for just one very quick reintroduction to Mouse Geared.
I regret that.
That was came in with a little bit more fire this time because we're back. So I got an interesting one for you that I don't think will be very difficult, but I'm interested to see what your thoughts are on it. The ride that I'm throwing to Mouse Geared is Carousel of Progress.
Ooh.
So it's an attraction. Have you been on Carousel of Progress?
I have not been on Carousel of Progress.
You're kidding me. You would love Carousel.
It's not in. It's only in Magic Kingdom.
I could have sworn it was in Disneyland. That was a World's Fair.
The building that used to house it is now a Star Wars exhibition called like Launch Bay or something.
Okay, well, how long ago did they take that out? Because now I'm upset.
It's been out for a while because it was Interventions before this. I don't think since I was born it has ever been Carousel of Progress. It was really? Carousel of Progress, and then it was America Sings, and then that ride killed someone, so they closed it.
Okay.
And I believe the next thing to open was Interventions, I think. I could be wrong.
Well, shoot. Okay, so then I will describe it for you. Have you ever seen Carousel of Progress?
I've seen a video of Carousel of Progress, videos.
Okay, so for the listeners, while you're thinking, Carousel of Progress is essentially like a history of the American, I guess, like suburban family. It's a history of technology in Americana. It follows the same family through varying periods of American history as new technology gets developed and their lives change around it and because of it. Ending with kind of a scene of the future, which I believe has passed now. I think we caught up to the Carousel of Progress's future. Let me look this up.
The last one is just called the 21st century, I'm pretty sure. They kept it vague.
Yeah, I think it's just the 21st century. So into our time, and there are some things in the 21st century one that did actually happen, which are kind of cool, like the virtual reality and the voice controlled appliances and a few things like that, which are really neat. But essentially, it is a theater ride attraction in which you are sitting in a seat and then you rotate around watching different scenes of this American family. And so I wanted to see, Noah, what would you do to improve upon / change / demolish the Carousel of Progress?
So I would keep it as a revolving theater attraction because that's very unique. And I think that's the only one. It's now the only one in either U.S. Disney park. I don't know if any other theme parks have something like that. I'd keep the ride, you know, structure. I would absolutely trash the theming because history is kind of boring. Just kidding. I would trash the theme because because like most of Tomorrowland, it's outdated. Like even the future parts are kind of outdated at this point. So I think I would get rid of the whole like the typical American family through the decades. I think taking something like, it was a thing and we talked about it in the DCA episode, like the Animator's Workshop, something that basically like telling the story of Disney storytelling through the years in different steps. And the main big technical change I would want is including set pieces built around the audience space. So things on the walls and behind you, because just having a lit stage in front of you can only do so much for you. I think like adding screen elements and projection mapping to the sides of the audience. And then, yeah, just having each one telling the story of like how Disney, you know, got their start with, you know, some of the classic 2D animated films like Snow White and how they got their foundations. And then getting into like some of the more advanced things, you know, the advent of computer animation, and you could take the entire stage and theater area, digitize it into a grid, make it look like you're stepping into the computer and see some very basic wireframe animations, all the way to what we're doing now with these like hyper realistic, you know, individual hairs animated and in the process of all of that. And of course it would be done to song, not Sherman Brothers song. It needs to be good and not earworm good.
Don't you,
that's what I would do.
Don't you,
okay.
Don't you say that about the Sherman Brothers?
The Sherman Brothers on the whole are very good. It's specifically Small World that I'm after.
Small World. Everything else, I could do without Small World, but a Great Big Beautiful World. Tomorrow is a gem, and you do not speak of it that way.
Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow, World of it's not called World of Color, but actually might be that song. No, they did a good job, but like a soundtrack from this era, for each step along the way. And animatronics can stay, I guess. They'd have to stay janky. I need one animatronic to lose a hand at least once a month on that ride.
Fair enough.
Okay. That's all my change.
Okay. So I think what I would do, and I'll make this pretty quick because mine's much less drastic. I think, one, I actually think Carousel Progress is in the wrong park. I don't think it should be in Tomorrowland. I think there's something else that could be in Tomorrowland, especially because Magic Kingdom is a lot more character oriented. I think that it's just it's in the wrong park. So first thing I'm going to do, I'm picking up Carousel of Progress and we're moving it to Epcot. We're putting it in the Horizons Theater where it should have been, because Horizons was Carousel of Progress. We're putting in the Horizons Theater. We're reopening all that. We're not doing the digital internet thing that Disney's doing with it, because and we're going to, instead of doing the American Family throughout the ages, even though I love the Carousel of Progress, I think it would be better, instead of showing, hey, here's how technology has changed our lives over the years, I almost think we gotta take, since Spaceship Earth is getting changed to showing the history of storytelling rather than the history of communication, I think then it would be a really cool thing to then turn Carousel of Progress into the history of communication. Because you go from the ride of the history of telling stories to the history of hearing stories, very close next to it. And so I would want to see if it follows One Family kind of the same, that's fine. But I would love to see a history of how communication has changed over time, how we've learned how to talk to each other differently. Maybe just doing that lens of following this family as that changes. Because, I mean, you just look over the past like 50, 60, 70 years, that has changed so much. And I think the pandemic, as horrible as it has been, has shown us the ability we have to communicate with each other is astronomically different. I mean, we have never recorded this podcast in the same room. That's insane. True. We're miles away from, we are so far away from each other that a couple hundred years ago, we would not be interacting at all. Like that's the distance we are. Yeah. We wouldn't have done it. So just that fact that, I mean, and I think they should, like, it would be a good mention to talk about talk about how communication was able to help us get through the pandemic or get through the lockdowns, because the pandemic is still going, but get through the lockdowns and still communicate with each other and still have special moments that allowed us to get through it. I think that would be a really cool addition to Epcot to supplement the new storytelling that they want to show as Epcot's kind of face.
Yeah, I like that. The history of communication, and then you've got to focus on like the perseverance element of it all, kind of driving like our necessity to communicate. That would be really cool. And you're right, it would fit in better in Epcot. It does not belong in Tomorrowland.
No, and like the history, I say this knowing, history of communication is Spaceship Earth. Like that is what that ride is the history of how we communicate. They're getting rid of it, and I don't think they should. I don't think that story should stop being told, because that story's not old. That story doesn't get old, in my opinion, because it's always being told further and further, but there's never a reason not to look back at how we used to communicate and just how crazy things are. That's, in my opinion, one of the largest, like, oh my god, like, it's just crazy. And like the internet's a huge part of that. I don't know if you knew this, but I think you and I are older than Google.
We are, which
is an insane concept.
Painful, but also cool to brag about.
Painful, cool. Did not think it was true, but I just think that would fit in Epcot, and having both of those would be better than just having one in by itself. But yeah, that's my elevator pitch.
I like it. I like that. That would be good. Yeah, I think we did a good job on this Mouse Geared, and that's
it's pretty neat.
It's a pretty open, open concept ride to do a Mouse Geared on. It's a theater, so yeah, I like those. All right.
Well, I think that wraps it up.
It's time to wrap things up. Yeah, thank you all so much for tuning in and listening to me talk about doors and why they are there. and also other things. If you like the show, please leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else you can rate things. It helps the show out a lot. And if you leave a review, I believe the standing deal is I will read them in a Stitch voice still.
Stitch voice.
I think that's still it. Stitch voice. Leave literally any text and I'll read it in the Stitch voice and shout you out for it. Or you can stay anonymous if you prefer. But yeah, leave us a review. We're on Instagram at Main Street Mechies. Check out the Five for Friday for this episode. It's kind of hard to listen to this episode without it. But all Alex's verbal descriptions of the pictures and videos were, in my opinion, spot on.
Yeah, I'll disagree with that particular statement, but you can do your best, and I will see if I can do a bit.ly or a link or something for the rest of the pictures for anybody who's not following our social media. And everything Noah said, thank you for listening, and thank you for joining us for another hour of fun Disney discussions, and depending on how things go, it'll either be Noah and I again next week, or it will be Noah and his significant other, which at some point that episode will just need to happen because she needs to be on
here. That's fair.
But yeah, I hope to hope you all have a wonderful day, a magical week, and we will see you next time.
Gorsh.
Why do we keep going goofy recently? I don't know why.
It's easy. It's fine.
He's just kind punch of like, here.
Was that Donald?
It was. I think it was Donald choking on a cherry. On a cherry pit.
Okay, bye everyone.